I can't state that enough. The kids that we have, it's good that we have a bunch of kids. That's our future. What happens when we pass on? Better have somebody that knows what's going on around here, amen? You got to teach those kids. So, well, we've been going over the last several weeks about what endures for eternity. Just to recap real quickly, His mercy endureth forever. We're excited about that. His righteousness, His praise, His name and His memorial, His word. By the way, His praise, kind of funny about that. Although I understand that we don't praise the Lord like we ought to, and His praise is going away. Not many people praise the Lord anymore. I'm talking about praising the Lord. Even in independent fundamental churches such as this, a lot of folks have a hard time praising the Lord. And although it's going away, it will endure forever. Somebody will be praising God forever. I guarantee you that. Somebody will be praising the Lord. So don't fret if you, well, I feel like I'm the only one. Well, good, keep praising the Lord because you may be. But it's going to endure forever. I can guarantee you that. Because that's what the Bible says. But His name and memorial last forever. His word lasts forever. His strength endureth forever. His forgetfulness endureth forever. Boy, glory to God for that. And then we were kind of stuck on our life. Now we're going to make a transition, a very important transition, and I hope and pray that you understand there's two things in a row here. Our life is the first one, and then the next one I'll get to you here in a minute. But in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, one of my favorite verses, one of the two most important verses in all the Bible. You might say, well, John 3:16 is the most important. Well, it's not as important as this verse, okay? And it's not as important as the verse over there in Malachi. I'm not going to take you to there right now. But this verse right here is one of the two most important verses in all the Bible. Verse number 2 of Titus. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God... These three words are very, very important. And I hope you understand how important these words are to your life. These words are very important to your life because now you know that God must tell truth. He can't lie. Amen? Look at this. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He promised to us before the world began that there's going to be a way. And this will give you a headache if you try to figure out why. This will give you a headache if you try to figure out how. This will give you a headache if you try to figure out the ins and outs of all these things. Just trust this, that God knew we were going to mess up. God knew we were going to mess up, and because He knew we were going to mess up, He knew that He had to have a wonderful sacrifice for us. He knew that it wasn't going to be blood of bulls and goats. He knew it wasn't going to be this. God knew everything. He knew it was going to have to be His only begotten Son. He knew it was going to have to be Him to take care of our sin. He knew it was going to have to be Him to take care of our iniquities. He knew it was going to have to be Him to take care of the things that we were going to do to separate us from God. There had to be somebody to bring us back. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how bad you're going to be, no matter how bad you're being right now, there has to be a way to reconcile us to God the Father. God the Father knew that was going to be His Son. Aren't you excited to know that God cannot lie? No, listen, you can say what you want to say. I'm so excited about John 3:16. I'm so excited about God loving us. But let me tell you something. If God can lie, what do those words mean? Let God be true and every man a liar. Somewhere along the way, you're going to lie. Somewhere along the way, every man is going to lie. That's why it's so important that God cannot. Because if God could lie, Miss Mert, maybe Jesus wasn't good enough to die for us. Amen? If God could lie, maybe your salvation's not sure. If God could lie, maybe it's not the blood that has remission of sin. If God could lie, maybe He didn't need a virgin. If God could lie, maybe we can't be soul winners. If God could lie, maybe your tithe is not important. If God could lie, all these things that you see in the Bible could be lies. But thank God they're not. Do you understand how important having the truth in your hand is? The truth. You can rely on this. Can't rely on anything else. But you can rely on this. You can rely on His Word. See, if you don't have that, what do you have? That why is Mr. Ballard such a stickler on this? Why is Brother Dave such a stickler on this? Why are we so concerned about the book? Why are we so concerned about having the right one? Why are we so... Because we've got to know what the truth is. Got to have it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because it's truth. And if it's not true, you tell your kids something and boy, off the hand, you're thinking this is true, but you know that you're not going to give them the sugar donut at night. Oh, I'll give you one later. You don't mean that. But God cannot do that. He can't lie to you. What a wonderful promise that is. Because if you look at this, that word even appears here. God that cannot lie promised. He promised you that we would have that eternal life. Promised. Well, not only God can't lie, He also promised. Boy, that's like a double shot. You promise your kid something, you feel bad if you break the promise. God cannot lie, promised. Boy, that's pretty ironclad, don't you think? Aren't you glad then that you can go forward in your life knowing that you have eternal life? Knowing. Look at 1 John real quickly with me, one of my favorite verses as well. 1 John chapter 5. There's hardly ever a time that I don't go directly or indirectly. Eventually, I get here when I'm leading somebody to Christ. Almost never there'll be a time. Just because I want them to see one word. And if you look at these verses in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, then this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Can He lie? We just saw He cannot lie, so this must be true. Amen? Praise the Lord. He that hath the Son hath life. Boy, it's difficult. It's so difficult to know how to get saved. It's so difficult. He that hath the Son hath life. Boy, that's hard. That's difficult to understand, isn't it? I think we better get an NIV to let us in on that information a little bit easier. I think this King James is so hard to understand that we could never pick up on that. This is the record. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Real difficult to understand. If you've got Christ as your Savior, you've got life. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, you do not have life. Real hard. These things, verse 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? See, this is a very important word, because how many times when you're leading somebody to Christ do they say, I don't know, and that you cannot know? I've had people say to me countless times, it's impossible for you to know. It's impossible for you to know. How in the world can you say that you can know that you have eternal life? How is it possible you're a sinner? How is it possible you're no good? How is it possible you've done something wrong? How is it possible that you may know? Because this life is in His Son, not in you. Amen? You may know. Now, wait a minute. We just stopped over at Timothy or Titus. Can he lie? He can't lie, so this must be true. And if this is true, then you can know. K-N-O-W. If you walk around your life doubting, if you walk around your life in fear, if you walk around your life worrying about your eternal security, go to this verse, because you can know that you have eternal life. Know it. K-N-O-W. You're not worth it. You're right, you're not worth it. I'm not good enough. You're right, you're not good enough. The life is not in you. It's in Him giving it to you. Aren't you glad that this endures for eternity? This isn't something that just holds off for 10 minutes. This isn't something that's just good enough while you're getting baptized. This isn't something that's just good enough while you're being good. We're not good for 10 minutes in a row. I can't imagine. I've had people sit across my desk and say, how in the world can you believe in eternal security? And I tell them, how in the world can you not? You act like this life is in you. You act like this is something that you're capable of. You act like this is your fault that you're going to heaven. It's Christ. He's paid it all. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's told you these things. Why? Because He loves you, and He does not want you to live in fear. He does not want you to live in doubt. Because God cannot lie. So this then must be true, that you have eternal life. Those ones that believe in Him can live in a life that knows that they're going. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that I know that I know. Here's the thing you gotta, this is, what? How praiseworthy is this? I don't care if I go out and shoot somebody today, which I'm going to tell you, in the last couple weeks, I've thought about it. I hear one more joke about my raccoon eyes, I'm going to shoot somebody. But understand this. What I do with my life does not affect what he's going to do with my eternal life. Now you say, well, bless God, let's go out and get drunk. Praise the Lord. You ought not use what God has given you. You ought not use what God has blessed you with. You ought not use that gift that God has given you to do whatever you want to do with this body that he's given you. What you want to do, and here's the great thing, and I'm going to tell you, what's amazing to me is this. We serve God on our terms. The vast, 99.9% of us serve God on our terms. God, I'll serve you as long as I've got time. God, I'll serve you as long as I can. God, I'll give you what I can, but I can't give you everything. Well, I'm sure thankful that God did not have that attitude towards our lives. Thank God he never will, by the way. But understand this. When you serve him, when you do something for him, by the way, you ought not be doing this thinking that you're making a payment to him. This is not a car loan. I talked to Brother Bob Gray probably about a month ago. He and a preacher call him and say, you know, I'm thinking about having my associate pastor sign contracts. I'm thinking about having some of the folks sign contracts, ushers and that, sign contracts that you will do this, 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 and this, and this. That's the most ungodly thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Now, the reason I say that is this, and this is not this is not going to go over well with you, but understand this. I don't need a contract. I've got one. It's sitting on that pulpit right there. Here's the whole thing. If God has given you a job to do, if God has given you something that you can help him with, if God has given you a ministry, why in the world would you need a contract to fulfill it? If you don't want to serve God, get out. If you don't want to serve God, don't be serving God. If you don't act like you're serving God, don't hope like you're serving God, don't show up to church and show yourself forth as a Pharisaical service. If you want to serve God, you better know this. You better serve God with all your heart. You better give the Lord what he's given you. You better give God something more than paper. I can't hold you to what God wants you to do, but he certainly should. Good Lord have mercy. Envision Jesus Christ going to Calvary. Envision Jesus Christ with his arms spread. And envision Jesus Christ fully disfigured before man. Envision that. That should be contract enough. I never understand it. And here's the sad connotation. The reason that preachers are doing this and thinking along these lines is because people are ditching on them. I had a teacher in my school, and she showed up at nighttime 2 days into the school year, put keys on my desk, and said, I quit. Never told me, never came to me, never said word to me. You know what bothers me about that? What was she's serving God for? Come on, help me now. And I talk about this because, listen, I know a lot of folks desire to have ministries. They desire to start ministries. You know how easy it is to start a ministry? It's so easy to start a ministry. Brother Larry, it's easy to start a bus route. You know what's hard about starting a bus route, Brother Dan? The whole thing about a bus route is finishing. See, that's why I like faithfulness so much. I like faithfulness so much because they've served longer than some of you have been alive. They've served much longer than I've been here. And yet they show up every Sunday and continue to serve. Just continue to serve. Just continue to serve. Do I need a contract with you, Brother Dan, to drive the bus? I don't need a contract with you, brother. Do you know why? Because you want to serve God. He's got a contract with God. See, what's amazing to me is this. People can't wait to ditch out. Well, God, bless you, got to go ahead and get those people to tithe. You got to make them sign a paper. God signed the paper. You ought to put your tithe in because you love God. I knew that wouldn't go over well, by the way. I get sick and tired of the pussyfoot Christian. I get sick and tired of the, well, bless God, give what you can. God loveth a cheerful giver. But God demandeth a tither. He loveth when you start giving because you want to. He loveth when you start to give because you, not because you feel you have to, because you want to. Because you know that God gave you 100% and all he's asking back is 10%. He's given to us eternal life. Don't you think we can give him what is temporal? See, it's amazing to me that this whole thought process of contracts and, well, I even talked to a preacher down in West Virginia. He says, well, I'm demanding that my associate pastor stays for 5 years. Well, come on now. Listen, I've been here for almost 20. You don't have a hold on me. You don't like that, but you don't have a hold on me. If God says, I want you to go to Florida tomorrow, amen. Now, if God wants me to be out of here, you have no hold on me. God has a hold of me. I've got my contract with him, not with you. Hey, I've been here, I'm staying, I'm not going nowhere unless God moves me, but God can move me. How dare I sign a contract that says I'm staying? Now listen, it'll take God to move me. A lot of preachers, they don't need God to move them, they'll just move whenever they want to. But that's not what God tells you. You need to get yourself wrapped up in what God wants. He's given to us eternal life. What in the world would I need a contract with him with a person for? Well, I don't want to serve God, but my preacher's making me. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your entire life? Hey, I'm the principal of the school. I'm going to make my teacher sign a contract that says they'll be here. And I've got to be honest with you, it's crossed my mind to make them sign a piece of paper because they irritate me so much. But bless God, you got to sign a contract because I want to make sure I've got you here. Hey, if you ditch on God, that's between you and God. I'm going to tell you, I'd be very careful when you decide to not serve God. By the way, can I help you a little bit? Anybody that's in a leadership position in this church, you better be careful who your contract's with. Ushers, song leader, I don't care. Organ player, I don't care who it is. You have God's given you a ministry. That's why I'm very careful to start new ministries. It's easy to start them. Very difficult to finish them. But I believe with all my heart that those two men right there will be serving God in the bus ministry until the day they die. I believe that with all my heart. I believe with all my heart that that man right there will be serving God until the day he dies. Why? He didn't have a contract with me. Did I make him sign anything to be here today? By the way, I understand that. But this man right here will serve God till the day he dies. He's got a contract with somebody a lot bigger than me. See, what's amazing to me is this. We come to this thought that we'll serve God how we want to. We'll do what we want to, and we'll serve God how we want to. I don't think God's interested in that. I think God's interested in how do we want to serve him as he wants us to serve him? Come to God as he wants you to come. Now, he wants you to come just as you are. He understands who you are. He understands your frame. He knows your heart. He knows all these things. But there's got to be a day and time when we come to the position in our lives where what we're doing is bigger than the people around us. Amen? I know I've told this story a lot of times, but I served God here. I served here for 3 years because I wanted to impress my father-in-law. Whatever. That's not a bad reason, right? I mean, you want to impress your boss. You want to impress. I got to be honest with you. After the 3 years, I come to the realization that that's not what was important. What was important is pleasing God. I don't do that all the time, by the way. If you'd be honest, neither do you. I don't please God all the time, but my desire to please Him became my priority. The way that I preach, the things that I do, the studying that I do is for His glory, not for His glory. Now, He's well pleased when God's well pleased. Amen. And by the way, that's the way it'll be. It doesn't take much to please your pastor. I'm just going to be honest with you there. He, most long-suffering man, most gentle, most generous man I've ever met in my entire life. It doesn't take much to please him. But it does take a little bit more to please God. I promise you, if you please God, your pastor will be well pleased. Amen? Now, as we look at these things, God has given us this life, and thank God He cannot lie, and we can know that we have eternal life. But just as much as we know that, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 5 with me. By the way, I'm just going to throw this in as a side note. If you're in a leadership position and you're not tithing, you're not right with God. Let me break that down a little further. If you're a Christian and you're not tithing, you're not right with God.
All you want is money.
I couldn't care less. That's between you and the Lord. I have no idea who gives. I have no idea. Couldn't care less. But God cares. God cares. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Don't go to the New Testament. Don't go to Acts, because they brought everything. I'm sure we're not going to be worrying about that in this church. I guarantee you that. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Let's go by 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by your good works. Praise the Lord. That's not what it is it? By Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're not always going to do things right. Our eternity is not contingent upon your goodness. Your eternity is not contingent upon you living rightly. Well, what if I murdered somebody? I don't know, ask Paul. What if I murdered somebody? I don't know, ask Moses. They murdered folks. They're in heaven right now. Ask David. He ordered the murder and then took the man's wife. He committed adultery and murder. And David was the greatest king Israel ever had. We know we're sinners, and I don't say go out and do those things. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is what you do is not contingent on your eternity. What he did is contingent upon your eternity. It endureth forever. Eternity is eternal. That's profound. You need to write that down. Eternity is eternal. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to go to heaven someday. Not because of us, but because of Him. Now also understand this. In Romans 5, verse 12, which is just one column over, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want you to look real quickly with me to Mark. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Just as much as your life, if you know the Lord as your Savior, is eternal, so is death and hell. Just as much as the greatness and splendor of heaven is awaiting us, so is the torment and darkness and pain that awaits those that are unsaved. Now, Christian, this is something that you need to understand. We've been put here to tell folks about Jesus Christ. We've been put here to battle the devil. His whole objective is to get people to not do what God wants them to do. He has no other plan. He doesn't care what you do, as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. He's going to give you every excuse in the whole wide world that you can do whatever you want to do. You can do good things. It doesn't matter what. You could go down and volunteer at Habitat for Humanity on a Sunday. As long as you're not in church, he's happy. As long as you're not doing what God wants you to do, he's happy. He'll let you watch. You can watch the 700 Club instead of read your Bible. He's happy. Well, that's horrible, Brother Dave. That's horrible. You're talking about these. Listen, God has a plan that's his plan, not your plan, his plan. Now, the devil knows the good things in our life. He knows the good things. He knows, well, I'll just sit at home and watch church on TV. I don't care if this was on TV. God doesn't want you at home watching church on TV. God wants you in your church house watching church. He wants you to be part. Forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. In other words, you got to be here. You ought to be here. You ought to want to come to church. Now those things, we understand that God had put those things in order for us to do. That means that just as much as he cannot lie on the things that we are doing and cannot lie on our eternity and cannot lie about heaven and cannot lie about those things, he also cannot lie about the place where people that don't know Christ go. Can't lie about it. I was just in Gettysburg, and as I stood upon the rocks, a little round top, looked down to a beautiful, beautiful valley. You can't even imagine that being the slaughter pen. Can't even imagine all the people that died in that valley. I can't even grip it. I can't even think the smell and the stench and all those things. A beautiful place, such a beautiful place, could be so foul. But understand this. Those people that laid, some, if not most, are still in hell today. Are still in hell today. Right now, burning forever. You have loved ones right now that do not know the Lord or Savior. You have them. I have them. And have I told them? My dad got saved, and it wasn't too long ago. Sitting right over in these chairs over here, he got saved. It wasn't too long ago. Listen, I tried to tell him. It didn't work. I tried to tell him. He wouldn't hear it. I tried to tell him. But God told him, thank the Lord, eventually. I was preaching. Didn't even preach anything about salvation. But God got a hold of his heart right there. I'm excited about that, but I haven't got to all my family. The people that I love, the people that I care about, the people that I want to be saved, those are the ones that I have not yet gone to. What is the matter with me? It's not easy. That's what's the matter. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Your flesh is not going to get up in the morning and want to go soul winning. Doesn't care about it. You've got to have that thought process that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Because hell is forever. Boy, isn't it a hoot to preach that heaven's eternal? Isn't it wonderful to know that I'm not going to go to hell? I'm going to go to heaven. Isn't it fantastic to know that heaven is never going to go away? Isn't it wonderful to know that I'm going to get the opportunity to talk to Paul and Moses and Timothy, all those men? Glory to God, isn't it going to be wonderful to ask Peter, what in the world were you naked on a fishing boat for? You ever ask that question to yourself? What in the world? That just doesn't seem like the place you'd want to be naked. I don't know. Ain't a whole lot of places, but a fishing boat certainly isn't one of them. I get eternity to be in heaven to talk to these men and ask them, and glory to God, the Word of God's going to be there, and I'm thankful it ain't going to change from here to there. So the things that I'm promised in that book are going to be promised there too, and I'm going to be excited about that. But understand this, just as much as that's fun, just as much is the horrible thought that you have no second chances. Once you die, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you go to hell. And there is no getting out of it. It's comforting to preach purgatory. Comforting. Because then the people that are here can do something about your eternity. That's comforting. It's false. It's not true. You can't, I don't care how many times your relatives get baptized for you, that ain't going to get you out of hell. And what you've got to understand is this. Once somebody dies and goes there, I've done lots of funerals of people that are burning today. And it's not fun to talk about. It's not fun to think about. It's horrible to think about that. But if you're talking about things that endure for eternity, you must then bring up hell. You must then bring up these torments. You must then bring up these places, this place, this hell hath enlarged herself, eternity. How many? Here's what you got to understand. The Muslim population is taking over the world. It is. And they can believe in Allah and all these things all they want to. That's not going to get them to heaven. I don't see 72 virgins and milk and honey anywhere in here. How do you know that you have eternal life? You must believe in His Son. They don't believe in Him. The Muslim faith, believe it or not, holds Jesus Christ as a prophet. They recognize Him, but they don't recognize Him as Lord. They don't recognize Him as Savior. So every one of those people that don't believe in Jesus Christ must go somewhere. They go to hell forever. We can't wrap our head around forever. I can't wrap my head around 20 years. Can you imagine eternity? Turn with me to Luke. Boy, it got quiet in here. Boy, it's easy to praise the Lord when you're talking about heaven. Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. This is verse 19. And fared sumptuously every day. He lived the good life while he was here. I'm not against living the good life. I'm not against that. I'm not against having stuff. But then there was a beggar, a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Why? Why was he carried there? Was he carried there because he was a beggar? Was he carried there because he was a man full of sores? The only reason he was taken there is because he believed in Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Look at this now. And he cried and said, I'm sorry, and in hell, let's go back. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is real. Don't you dare let people tell you that hell is not real. They have whole religions founded on the fact that there is no hell. Scared to death, men came and said, there's no hell. God would never do that. I'm going to tell you right now, God never did it. God provided a way that we didn't have to go there. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that old dirty beggar, Lazarus, that old man full of sores, Lazarus, the one that was begging crumbs, send him. That he may dip the tip of his dirty finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You can't paint a pretty picture there. Can't do it. You can't make that good. You can go to a Jehovah's Witness church all you want to, and they'll tell you, because of the words of their founder, that there is no hell. They'll tell you that there's different grades of heaven. They'll tell you that there's different things. And I'm, by the way, I've got to go back to God that cannot lie. If all that's true, then God must be a liar. Now listen, I'm going to tell you upon the authority of the Word of God, not on me, that what that man is telling people is sending people straight to hell, because that's not how you get to heaven. Now you can go there. You can go into the Muslim faith and strap yourself full of dynamite and run into a bus full of Israelis and act like that's going to get you a higher place in heaven. You can do that, but that's not what the Bible says. And if that's not what the Bible says, it must not be true. You can do that. But I promise you this, they close their eyes, strapped to a bomb, they open their eyes in hell. You can't make it different than it is. And as I preach my funerals and think about the people that are dead there, I know I can't do anything for them. Their eternity's settled. It's over with. Done. If they're in hell, that's where they're going to be. Forever. Because just as eternal as heaven is, so eternal is hell. This isn't popular. This is preaching nobody wants to hear anymore. You may not want to hear it, but it's true. My care is no longer for the person that's laying there. I don't shed a tear for them. I shed a tear for the others that are hearing what I have to say and pray to God that they don't end up there without Christ. I fear that the funerals that I preach fall upon deaf ears, and that's probably true. I worry that this world has such a skewed Bible. Do you understand why all the other Bible versions are out there? Do you understand why those are there? Because the devil knows that if he can get us away from the truth, he wins. He knows. He knows that as long as we can stay away from the truth, as long as we can stay away and put, even if we have the truth in our hand and just put a question mark behind it, he's won. And what happens, we get this point where hell ain't so bad. Huh? It must not be so bad, we just don't seem to care that much. Hell must not be so hot. Maybe it's cooled off in this 2,000 years or 6,000. Maybe it's cooled off some. I'm going to tell you with all my heart, Cain still burns today in a hell that is hot, hot, hot. He still burns today, and by the way, when we're enjoying our 10,000th year in eternity, he'll still be there. Just as eternal. Oh, we love to hear about heaven. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. Streets of gold, beautiful. So forever is that place called hell. You want a contract? There's your contract. You want a reason to serve God? There's your reason. You want a purpose behind what you do? There's your purpose. Why do we run buses? Gas is too expensive. No, hell is too expensive. I want these children, every chance they get, to hear about the wonderful truth that I know that heaven is real and Christ has paid the price. I want them to hear that, because if they don't, this is where they're going to end up. I'll pay the gas. I want them to hear about the Lord. And if they don't hear about Him, shame on us. We worry about, well, I can't do this or I can't do this because I'm not capable. Let me tell you something. You better get some capability because hell's enlarging herself. You better get some availability because hell's getting bigger. You must get the thought in your heart, I better do something because hell's burning hot. And I don't want that little bus kid to go there. I don't want any of you guys to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. Then I ask myself, okay, Brother Dave, then what do you do about it? What do you do about it? Hey, I'm not going there. Thank God I'm not going there. Whew. Thank God I'm not going to hell. The only reason I'm not is because somebody started a church down on Galena Street. And a man named Ron Brown showed up. He taught me about the Lord, and he told me about that place. And I don't want to go there. I wonder if I need a contract. I don't think I need one. just as eternal as your life is, so eternal is their death. This is a downer. Woohoo. This is a downer. You're not going to go away saying, man, that was great, Brother Dave. Thank you. I'm encouraged. I know that. But boy, I think we ought to want to serve the Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord God, please give us opportunities. Give us opportunities to serve you. Give us opportunities to praise you. Give us opportunities to thank you. Lord God, there's so many opportunities to do that. Lord, let us realize that. Lord, let us come to grips with the fact that hell is real. Oh, it's not a subject that anybody wants to hear about. I know that. But it doesn't make it any less true. It doesn't make it any less hot. It still burns. It's still there. Whether or not we want to preach about it, whether or not we want to talk about it, whether or not we want to think about it is irrelevant. It's still there and it's still hot. Lord God, let us be about your business. Lord God, let us be about what you'd have us to do. Lord God, please help us. Help me as a preacher to be more soft, be more willing, be more tuned in to what you'd have me to do, because I don't do a very good job of it. Lord God, help me. Help me to be more ready to tell people about you so they don't go there to that place called hell. Because, Lord, that death is eternal, and it will not ever go away. Help us today. Give my pastor strength, oh God. Be with the folks that are in the hospitals. Be with the folks that are sick. Oh, God, there's so many of them. But be with my pastor. Strengthen him up. Give him exactly what you'd have him to say. Anoint him from heaven today. And, Lord, please let us be ready to receive what you'd have for us. Let us be open to it. And, Lord, let us get busy and get excited about serving you. Because the days, I believe, are growing short. Lord, please help us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll break for probably...